By the beginning of 1943, the war in the Pacific had become a contest of distance, endurance, and industrial power. The Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in December 1941 had opened a vast conflict that stretched from the Aleutian Islands to New Guinea and from Burma to the Central Pacific. During the first months of the war, Japanese forces had advanced with astonishing speed, seizing the Philippines, Malaya, Singapore, the Dutch East Indies, Guam, Wake Island, and numerous island groups scattered across thousands of miles of ocean. Yet the apparent permanence of those victories proved deceptive. At the battles of the Coral Sea and Midway, the United States halted Japan's expansion and inflicted losses that the Japanese naval aviation establishment could not easily replace. The bitter struggle for Guadalcanal, meanwhile, demonstrated that American forces were capable not merely of stopping the Japanese advance but of beginning the long and difficult movement westward. The strategic question was no longer whether the Allies would counterattack. It was how they could cross the immense Pacific, break through Japan's defensive perimeter, and bring the war to the Japanese home islands without exhausting themselves against every fortified position along the way. The answer became known as island hopping, although American planners more often used terms such as leapfrogging or bypassing. The concept was simple in theory but extraordinarily complicated in practice. Rather than attack every island occupied by Japanese troops, Allied commanders would select positions that offered airfields, anchorages, or other strategic advantages. Once captured, these islands would become bases for aircraft, warships, submarines, and supply vessels. Japanese strongholds that did not need to be taken would be isolated, deprived of reinforcement, and left to wither. The Allies would then leap forward to the next important objective, gradually moving their bombers and naval forces within range of the Philippines and eventually Japan itself. This approach conserved lives, ships, ammunition, and time. It also transformed geography into a weapon. An island did not need to be conquered if control of the surrounding sea and sky rendered its garrison powerless. Nevertheless, island hopping was never a single, perfectly unified plan directed by one commander. The Allied advance developed along two broad and sometimes competing axes. In the Southwest Pacific area, General Douglas MacArthur commanded forces advancing along the northern coast of New Guinea toward the Philippines. In the Pacific Ocean areas, Admiral Chester W. Nimitz directed operations through the Central Pacific, where American forces would move through the Gilbert, Marshall, and Mariana Islands. These routes reflected both strategic necessities and institutional rivalries. MacArthur believed passionately that the United States had a moral obligation to liberate the Philippines, from which he had escaped in 1942 after promising, "I shall return." Nimitz and many naval planners favored a more direct drive across the Central Pacific, where the growing strength of the United States Navy could be used to seize islands suitable for major air and naval bases. Ultimately, the Joint Chiefs of Staff approved both advances. Rather than choose one route, the United States would apply its rapidly expanding resources to two converging offensives. This dual strategy placed intense pressure on Japan's defensive system. Japanese commanders could not know with certainty where the next major blow would fall, and they lacked the shipping, aircraft, and trained personnel to defend every threatened position equally. Yet the Allies also faced immense difficulties. Distances in the Pacific defied ordinary military experience. A campaign might be fought thousands of miles from the nearest major industrial base, across waters where storms, reefs, inadequate charts, and mechanical failures could be as dangerous as enemy action. Every soldier, vehicle, artillery shell, gallon of fuel, medical kit, and ration had to be transported by sea. Assault forces required specialized landing craft, engineers, construction battalions, naval gunfire, fighter cover, and carefully coordinated communications.